Hello and welcome to episode 108 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where there's always an abundance of side story goodness to fill in the gaps. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And Eric will not be joining us this episode because he's on a vegan safari in Africa, where he will pet the wild animals and not eat or hurt them, I presume. However, our show continuing in his absence got us thinking about how stories tend to continue, often even in the absence of compelling content. This is especially true when it comes to TV and movies, and so we thought we would discuss some examples of that, to include the new Gotham series set in the Batman universe. But before we get to that, we thought we'd kick things off in our usual, I guess much abbreviated style since there's only two of us, with our weekly geekly weekly roundup. Brian, you do the honors first, sir. What have you been up to this week?
I am very excited this week. I got my huge mega shipment of Relic Knight figures from Cool Mini or Not. You may remember us discussing that Kickstarter, like, I think it was 6 years ago.
I do. I think we ordered our stuff about 6 years ago. I shouldn't say ordered. I should say we pledged about 6 years ago.
We pledged a lot of money for them to graciously gift us a product. That's true. I can't really complain about it taking so long or anything like that. I'm very excited to have it, and I'm mostly happy with it. Some of the figures are kind of shit. I think they kind of messed up some, but that's always true. I mean, even War Machine has some figures that just suck. So not a huge deal. I'm a little bummed that a lot of the ones that weren't great tend to be in my favorite faction, but I'll live.
And which faction is that, pray tell?
I was really leaning towards the Doctrine, the Harry Potter people.
I like them, and I think there was another one. What was it, something Racers or Speeders or something like that?
Circe Speed Circuit.
Circe Speed Circuit, yes. Well, perhaps we'll save a more thorough breakdown of that game for a future episode. Have we ever done an episode on figure painting and or miniature gaming?
I think I've just mentioned it. I don't think we've ever, like, focused an episode on that.
I'll have to figure out how to translate that into an audio podcast, but that does not sound like a bad idea, actually. Let's see, so you got that? Anything else?
Along the lines, kind of preparing for those, what the first step for me in putting the minis together is always basing the minis, like the little circular things they stand on. So... And I just think it's funny. It's not very exciting, but I've been basically taking sand and putting it where I want it and then painting it to look like sand. And I'm not even joking. I'm actually using real sand. Like, I went to the beach and just cut some of it up. But, you know, you can't just leave it like that. So you got to paint it different colors and everything, which I'm sharing the silliness of that.
You're taking sand and making it more convincing as sand.
Yeah, real sand just doesn't quite have that realistic look I'm going for.
Now, given the scale of the miniatures, that sounds like out-of-scale sand. I just want to point that out.
I actually, to be serious for just a moment, I think that's why it doesn't look realistic, because it's just barely out of scale. So you have to paint it to look more, a little more rocky than sandy, and that helps it look like a good fit.
Cool. Well, there's a free figure painting tip that our audience was not counting on. Anything else?
That's it, actually. That's most of my weekend was counting the obscenely large Relic Knight shipment that I got, and then the rest of it was spent making plans and reading rules, and it's just, you know, new car excitement.
Awesome, sir. Well, I have not gotten my shipment of Relic Knight stuff yet. I did order quite a lot of stuff, so I'm looking forward to getting that. However, it is going to be going to my Florida address while I am currently resident in Seattle. And unfortunate as that is, I am nevertheless happy to be in Seattle. I guess that's pretty much my big update. I moved out to this oh-so-perfect and geeky city of Seattle for my seasonal transition to a cooler climate. Basically, flew out here. Landed, got picked up by my friend. She and I then immediately went to go see X-Men Days of Future Past. Last year, we went to see Superman. So going to see a geeky movie upon my landing has become something of a tradition. We then went to GameStop, where I purchased Mario Kart for the Wii U, Eric mentioned last week, that's one of the many reasons to own a Wii U going forward. And while we were there, a couple of Frozen figures from the Disney Infinity game caught her eye. She's not into Disney Infinity and not even a huge gamer, but she loves Frozen. And so to thank her for picking me up, I purchased her a couple of those. So always fun to give a geeky gift to a friend who you didn't know was geeky. And apart from that, yeah, just settling into Seattle, playing some games, continuing with the Kingdom Hearts, continuing with the Disney Magical World on the 3DS, and reading some comic books. I think we've got a comic book episode maybe brewing, so I will save details on that for a future date. That pretty much rounds up my update. I will say that you should totally see Days of Future Past if you have not. Great movie. I really liked it.
I have not yet, and I've heard a lot of good things about it. I was really expecting some hate, but not so much.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, because I don't expect the X-Men movies to be that wowing for the most part, but it was really good. Another movie I'll recommend real quick before I end my update, Edge of Tomorrow, I think it is, the one with Tom Cruise. Does that sound right?
It doesn't sound right, but I can't think of what does sound right, so maybe it is.
Whatever, the new Tom Cruise movie, I saw that I saw that last week, basically, and I've been meaning to tell you, you should go see that. It's really good. So there you go. There's my updates. That's my recommendations for the week. And I guess, speaking of entertainment, we can get into tonight's topic. I think it's really appropriate that we're missing a person and that the show is continuing nevertheless. Let's pretend for the sake of argument that Eric is the real meat of our show, the real meat of our series, of our movie series, if you will, that is the Nerdstravaganza, and that you and I are side characters. This episode will represent an adventure that we're going to have together in like a little side story or a, what is it, Gaidan, as they call it in Japan?
I've heard a lot of people call it Gaidan. I really think it's Gaiden, and if it's not, I just prefer Gaiden.
Look, all my friends back in middle school or whatever played Ninja Gaiden with me, and only when Fred Savage uttered Gaidan on the big screen in the movie The Wizard was it suddenly cool to call it Gaidan instead of Gaiden or Gaiden. So I'll call it Gaidan to be pretentious and maybe correct, but we can call it Gaiden too interchangeably.
Just call it whatever we want and agree to disagree.
Yeah, yeah. So here we are with Nerdstravaganza Gaiden, and it's awesome really that Eric decided not to join us this week so we could have this little Gaidan Gaiden, because you brought up a really interesting topic that I thought we would discuss in the spirit of discussing side stories, that, or prequel stories if you prefer, that being the new Gotham television series set in the Batman universe. And I'll let you kind of take it away. What do you think we're going to see out of this?
I really don't know what to expect, because there is no Batman universe until he was Batman, is there? I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of anything known about that. So I have mixed feelings.
Yeah, well, there was no Star Wars until Anakin Skywalker was Darth Vader. And we were able to fill that in with a content of dubious quality, weren't we?
Yes, yes, they won't stop filling that in.
Yes, and I really can't wait to dig into this topic a little more, because we've mentioned it a number of times on the show. We're not massive fans of the prequels, who is? We're not massive fans of all the Clone Wars filler material, even though I am soldiering on through that series, trying to get all the way through it. And more than it just kind of being a tinkering with a beloved franchise in Star Wars, I think it's an objection that we both share to sort of side story explosion or expansion or just overdoing, for lack of a more eloquent way to put it. Meaning, in between episodes A and B of a certain franchise, many episodes A.1, A.2, A.3, all the way out to infinity took place, so that this person didn't have a second to breathe for all the side story stuff that was going on, but made it right back, but made it back to the main plot line just in time to resume where he left off or she left off. Right? Does that make sense? What I'm saying? Like, it strains credulity, I guess, to think that these people have this active a life, even superheroes.
Right. Right. It's much easier to believe that they just wanted more money.
Right. Like, I'll take, for example, the Clone Wars, which I am watching. Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme all being put in these, like, really precarious, life-threatening situations takes on, in the movies, takes on a much more, what's the word I'm looking for, seems diluted when you've watched the Clone Wars, because they were in situations of this level of intensity continuously for like 2 years as the Clone Wars waged on. They're being captured, they're being, like, you know, they're fighting Dooku every other day. Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen the show. There's just way too much dilution of their storyline that takes place as a result of them having all of these zany, like, side adventures. And I understand you're just trying to squeeze a property for cash, but man, it really messes up the story.
Once upon a time, I remember reading books for my favorite series as I guess I'll call it a kid, but as a young adult or a teenager or whatever. And so many of the books, I always wanted more. And I remember discussing it with you, like, even other possibilities. What happened if Huma had taken the rocky path instead of the one he took? And somewhere along the line, that moved from a cool what if to just a, God, it's enough already.
Yes, yes. You're referring now to the Dragonlance series of novels put out by TSR way back in the day. And it started with a series just called Chronicles, which chronicled this awesome war between good and evil in this very dragony world of Kryn. And all of the what-ifs that we had were eventually given novel treatment. And it exploded beyond our capacity to keep up. I won't say our capacity to keep up, but our desire to keep up, right? Like, I really... It would have been, it's more interesting to speculate sometimes what would have happened if Huma had taken the left, you know, the one path versus the other, as opposed to being conked over the head and told exactly what would happen. Because if I'm not mistaken, that series degenerated even into a series of, like, what ifs, right? They actually did what if novels, didn't they, or something akin to that?
Yeah, I think they did.
Ugh. I mean, I don't, sometimes I like that being left for me to think about, to wonder about, you know? I mean, let's take a more quote-unquote classic example in Lord of the Rings. Would you like it if Christopher Tolkien totally sold out and allowed other authors to run off and do all these side stories of what happened to the descendants of the hobbits or what happened between Weathertop and, like, the next destination during the journey? Think of how crappy that would be for the overall narrative in Lord of the Rings.
You don't have to imagine. You can just look at Dune.
That's right, because so there were, the author passed away and they carried on the series, right?
Yeah, I think there were 5 books by actual Frank Herbert.
Okay.
And that they're 5 of the best books I've ever written, any genre. They're amazing.
And then his descendants, blood or otherwise, carried on with sequels and, I guess, prequels or something like that, right?
Yeah, just this extensive mess of every possible detail you could possibly want to know about the several million years of history. And it's a mess. And at some point, it's oversaturation and you stop caring. And I think it does actually detract from the original.
Well, that's awful. And now we're talking about properties that are set in, like, these big universes too, you know. So with Dune, you've got this galaxy spanning cast of characters in this civilization where they're trying to control entire solar systems, presumably. And with Dragonlance, you have this whole world that had a rich lore and history. And with Lord of the Rings, thankfully this has never been done, but you've got a, you know, this entire world that Tolkien made up. And with all that in mind, let's bring things back to the topic at hand, which is Gotham. Gotham City and Batman's story. And not Batman's story, but what happened when Bruce Wayne was a little kid and Commissioner Gordon was running around as a young, police sergeant or whatever he was, right?
I'm trying to remember. They call him something in the trailer or the commercial or whatever you call it for a television series. They call him, like, Lieutenant Gordon or something like that. But yeah, as a youth, basically. Well, as a younger.
Yeah, that premise right there is troubling to me. I'm not sure I care what happened then. Just like I wasn't I didn't really care what happened to Superboy. What was that long running? They did, I think, a couple of series about Superboy when he was a kid having all these adventures.
Smallville?
Was it? Yeah. And he was full on like battling, you know, as opposed to Clark Kent being a kid who grew up on a farm and then like came into his own as Superman via a series of pivotal events, depending on what version of Superman you want to read. You now had him always being a superhero all the way back to high school. And that really dilutes the Superman storyline, in my opinion.
I've always had a problem believing that these worlds, these universes, were so tightly packed. Of course Clark Kent happened to go to high school with Lex Luthor or whatever.
Right. And I know we're trying to get back on topic with Gotham, but I'll go to Clone Wars again. Of course, every character made a cameo, or that character's father or mother made a cameo. There's a tie-in with every little bit character that any fan ever wanted to see. And man, I hate fan service at that level. And you know what? We're calling it a cash grab, but I guess that's what excessive fan service really is. It's, look, my fans like Boba Fett. He's a stupid bit character. I never intended to be big, but it's going to make me bucks. We're going to insert him into these prequels. I mean, I hate to see that with Batman. Now, I'm not going to come out and say I'm like some diehard Batman fan. Of course, my real love of it got ignited in the 80s when the old Batman movie came out, and then I've read some comics on and off throughout the years. I was a big fan, of course, of the animated series, as I'm sure you were as a kid. So I'm not going to pretend to be some like have some encyclopedic knowledge of Batman, but I know the broad strokes. And I don't think there's room on the canvas for an excessive amount of backstory to be painted over, let's say, to use the painting analogy, to its absolute limit. So with Gotham, I'm really wondering where we're going. I've seen previews. I haven't really read up on it. I mean, are we going to see, like, Joker as a street bully hanging out with, like, his friends? Are we going to see, like, Two-Face when he used to win at coin flipping all the time as a kid? Like, I don't, Harvey Dent, I guess I should say, like, I don't really know where we can go with this. I mean, what is this, uncharted territory? I don't know enough about the comics. There may be like entire series written about young Bruce Wayne that I don't know about.
This is probably optimistic, but I'm really hoping this is Bat Boy Meets World.
Wait, so it's just going to be like a coming of age drama, like a
Lex Luthor's always shown, not Lex Luthor, Jesus. The Joker's picking on him at lunch. The Riddler's always getting better grades in English. Harvey Dent's outscoring him in civics class. And Bane's picking on him at gym.
Penguin's always like waddling over and stealing his lunch.
No, Penguin's going to be the guy, like the friend or whatever that he has to have a difficult choice with or whatever. Penguin will be the guy waddling over. You going to eat those fries?
Ah, no problem, Penguin. Jeez, I wish people would stop calling me that. This sounds awful the way we're describing it. I'm assuming that the creative titans in charge of it will make it more compelling than this, but I have been wrong with similar assumptions in the past. Let's ask this question, though. We are talking about a comic book property, and comic books, unlike Star Wars, say, if you're going to include the expanded universe, are rebootable. They're endlessly rebootable. You can run one series with a comic book hero that has no bearing on another, even concurrently running series. You know what I mean? Comics are a series of like what ifs and different runs, and that's okay. And for some of them, there is an official plot line that carries over, but they're a lot more fast and loose with regard to that kind of stuff. Whereas with long running movie series, unless you reboot them as they did with, say, Star Trek, you've got canon to worry about. So what my question is Batman more resilient? Can we have a really goofy coming-of-age television program and not really have it damage the Batman franchise?
I almost feel unqualified to talk about this just because I can't get into television as a whole any longer. But a lot of these kind of teen angst superhero television series do really well, don't they? The Arrow and I guess everyone's excited about The Flash, and I think Gotham is just the latest one to expand. Far as I know, people dig them though.
Well, this might do well then if people are into it, and maybe we should give it a chance too. The Adventures of Bat Boy doesn't really sound very appealing to me, but let's take a positive look at it. What do you think they could do right? So a show set in the past. I'm assuming Bruce Wayne's a kid in this, right?
I think it's formative years. It's probably why he grew up to be Batman, as opposed to just saying like, oh, his parents were shot before his eyes. He was Batman. End of story.
Okay, and I guess his adult influence is going to be Gordon as a younger cop. And yeah, I mean, are we going to see him encounter new villains? Or, I mean, based on my reading, we're going to see a lot of like origin stories. So, I mean, I really hope that he's not like sitting in class with, what the hell is Catwoman's name? Selina, you know, who's like his girl crush or something.
Isn't she a lesbian? Maybe he turns her.
Oh wait, she's straight, and then he's like such a terrible first lay that she becomes a lesbian.
It's unrequited love. Like, she gives up on men because she never caught his eye.
Oh God, I hope not. I'm not really digging everybody's like angsty teen origin story, man. Like, although maybe I should. I just like, should all enemies grow up together?
Did you ever see? Oh, God, I don't even know what it was called. The Ichabod Crane movie with Johnny Depp?
Yes, Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, so it was called Sleepy Hollow? I thought it was called Ichabod or something like that. You remember the guy, the young kid that was orphaned by the Headless Horseman and, like, apprenticed himself to Ichabod?
I think so, sure.
If we went with that for Gotham, this could be really cool. Like, young Bruce Wayne could just, like, show up at police station. Come on, Commissioner Gordon, show me stuff. Teach me how to be cool like you.
Well, that might happen. That might actually happen. But, you know what I mean? That it might be him hanging around the police station and, like, solving one of those shows where he's just, like, a pesky PI solving crimes he's not supposed to. But oh, God, he's going to be, like, a cross between some outlaw PI and Wesley Crusher, isn't he?
It's pretty reasonable to expect, given his recent trauma, he's going to have some mental issues. This could be like Bat Monk.
Bat Monk? Oh, like the series Monk?
Yeah.
You could be right. I'm a little confused about where this could go. It could be a really touching series about like a new father figure helping him learn the ropes of fighting crime. It could be Bat Monk. It could be my so-called bat life. I mean, it could be a lot of things, man. But I just don't know what to make of it. And, you know, if this is to be accepted as having happened, I will never be able to watch a Batman movie or play a Batman game or read a Batman comic when Gordon comes to him like, there's a new villain in town called Penguin. Oh, no, that's friggin' Oswald from high school. I totally remember him. He was a jerk back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He just like goes to his house, knocks on his door. Oswald, what's up, man? Why are you doing this?
He's like facing down the Joker. You never were. You never were popular in high school, bats. He's mad at Two-Face because he stole his girlfriend. I mean, like, I just don't. Oh, I don't know what to make of this. Like,
Selena's too good for you, Bruce.
Shut up, guest star Wonder Girl. Oh, they're going to do crossover, too, with, like, Superboy and, like, young Diana, you know, visiting from... She's an exchange student from Greece who comes to high school for one episode. I don't know, man. I'm trying not to make this a negative episode, but it's more of a worry episode. I understand that there are valuable properties, but do we have to like just plumb the absolute depths to come up with new content? Can't we just develop something new maybe in the Batman universe? Or I don't know, a Batman live action TV series? I don't know. What better could be done? Here we're criticizing, but what could we do better? That's a good question.
I'm taking on this a little bit because it's fun to pick on things, but it might not be terrible. I think I'd watch that. Like, buddy cop father figure, Gordon training Bruce off the record, giving him a love of forensics and giving him a respect for the book.
There could be a lot of really cool, like, hair on your arm standing up moments in this. If they're subtle with the Batman connection, if they're not knocking you over the head with it, if every once in a while, if they make this series stand on its own such that you forget a lot of times that he's destined to become Batman, and then they subtly remind you of it, some little bit of symbolism pops in or some foreshadowing of his eventual role as Batman. And if they do the origin stories, oh man, I would love it if they just did the origin story set in Gotham, but in no way involving Gordon and Bruce Wayne. Like, show how Joker, you know, went down the wrong path. Like, I'm okay with that, as long as it's not literally Bruce Wayne beating up a young Penguin and Joker as Two-Face looks on, unable to decide which side in the fight to take. You know what I mean? I really hope that they set things up in a very vague and not knock you over the head way.
Yeah, as long as it's more of a detective show that happens to be Bruce Wayne instead of like a Batman the Wonder Years.
Yes. Honestly, I hope they focus more on Gordon. And I hope they, another good angle they could do is to show the need for Batman. It's to show how bonkers Gotham was absent a hero who could go toe-to-toe with the supervillains that existed. You know what I mean? Just, I would love a just completely overwhelmed Gotham Police Department trying to keep order, and Bruce growing up in that just complete bedlam, and maybe not focusing on him so much, but showing it forming him as he's powerless in a lot of cases to stop this crime. And he sees his hero, Gordon, just at the breaking point, barely trying to hang on.
Now, I would totally watch a story about Bruce wanting to grow up to be a cop, just like his big brother figure, Gordon, but realizing, slowly coming to realize over seasons and seasons, that the cops will never win because they have to play by the rules.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Right. That ties exactly into what I was saying, Brian. Yes. I want, my heart's in the right place. The cops' hearts are in the right place. I want to do what the cops could do if only they could go to the levels they need to fight the kind of evil that we need to fight here in Gotham. And he could break Gordon's heart when he goes his own way. You know, like, Gordon was molding him to be this great cop that Gotham needs, and Batman realizes, no, I have to go in a different direction. But an enduring legacy of Gordon's influence is he doesn't kill.
Right. He still has the I have to do this for the best, but he just doesn't believe in, like, the mindless bureaucracy and the, you know, the Joker got away because somebody forgot to read his rights.
Right, right. Exactly. Batman, young Bruce Wayne realizes you have to go outside the law to truly fight outlaws. Honestly, it's kind of like, and I don't want to get political or to in any way diminish real world problems that are of great significance, but it's kind of like what we as a society have had to come to grips with as we battle these sort of unconventional enemies in the form of terrorists, right? We've engaged in some pretty unsavory and downright illegal practices in order to fight the Al-Qaeda villains around the world, have we not? I mean, I hate to trivialize, like, real-world events by comparing them to a television show or a comic, but I'm trying to draw parallels here.
Drawing parallels to art isn't necessarily a bad thing. I don't think you're necessarily denigrating the reality as raising the literature.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way, because I think this show, if they went that way, if they showed the inadequacy of walking the line as you're supposed to, I think that the show could resonate with people. I think that could be kind of cool.
I mean, just hypothesizing where it could go, I'm more hopeful for it than immediately writing it off as like a teen melodrama.
Right. I really hope, like, because that could go bad. I mean, It could also be Alfred in Charge, like a Charles in Charge knockoff, where, you know, he's this housekeeper trying to keep order in this orphaned millionaire's house. You know, I don't want to go in that direction. I want to go more in this, like, really cool direction that we're talking about. And let's be honest, I'm sure they're not putting this show together for no reason. There isn't a madman at the helm that we know of in the form of George Lucas. post whatever year it was that he lost his mind. So I have to hope that we're going to see a significantly dark and hard-hitting show that really sets up the future for Batman.
Yeah, I think whenever I hear dark and hard-hitting, I really worry they're going to overdo it. But yeah, I think they could do a pretty realistic... They could make it a Star Trek where, yeah, everything's unrealistic, but it's accepted. It's real enough.
Oh, you're talking about the show is not going to be a kind of zany over the top. It's going to kind of be a little almost CSI NYPD Blue, kind of like what they did with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe. Is that what you're kind of driving at?
Tone down Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like 20% because it was still crazy with like flying cars and
right.
We don't need a very special episode where he discovers the vocoder.
Got it.
Hey Ma, look what I can do. Well, hey Alfred.
We also need an episode where he builds a little like where he and his new father figures, Alfred and future commissioner Gordon, build a downhill race car in the shape of the Batmobile. You can win, Bruce. What is I'm thinking of a soapbox derby or something.
Right, you're right. Either a soapbox. Yeah.
Oh God, now I'm back to that again. I know, I'm just imagining Penguin winning because he's fat going down the hill.
Well, he wouldn't even need the car. He could just slide.
Oh my God, you're right. Like why is Cobblepot spreading that ice on his lane? And he just slides out on his belly going, meh, 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 meh. Oh my God. Oh, that's an awful idea.
That's a great idea.
I mean, it's great, but it's not. Joker's car is just a box. What if I, and he walks up and a big boxing whip comes out and pops him in the face. Oh God, there's going to be a spin-off video game called Gotham Racers. It's all the characters and the little race cars from that soapbox derby episode.
The Cart Knight.
Oh, the Cart Knight. Oh God, the Cart Knight races for the checkered flag in Gotham's checkered past. Oh man. Well, I think we kind of spun things in a more positive note towards the end. It sounded like we were kind of bashing on it, but I think we made our point, which is that we're kind of hopeful for this series, but we hope it doesn't do what a lot of sort of prequel and side story series have done in just kind of blowing the dimensions out of the box that holds the narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kind of keep it grounded.
Right. Which is normally Eric's role. And which is why this episode is so just completely off the rails. No, I'm kidding. I thought this was pretty good.
Little off the rails, though.
Off the rails. Well, we'll blame Eric. He's the one that wanted to go off on vegan safari. I hope he's kissing lots of cute animals. But I don't know. You think that's a wrap, man? Anything else to talk about with regard to Gotham side stories? Anything else?
I'm trying to think of a Robin joke, but no.
Well, I'll tell you what. Our listeners would be Robin themselves if they didn't think to subscribe to the Nerd Extravaganza podcast through iTunes or whatever podcatching software they happen to use, or if streaming was more to their liking, checking us out on Stitcher.
And don't forget, they can slide on over. You can belly slide on over to Facebook and like us, to Twitter and Instagram and follow us, and to Google Plus and Plus One us. And if you're really into all of the crazy shenanigans, you might want to check out the Nerd Extravaganza HQ, a private group on Facebook for extra Nerd Extravaganza goodness.
And if you want to get in touch with us for any reason, to include giving us positive feedback on this and other episodes, you don't need the bat signal. You can get a hold of us via email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on any of our posts on our amazing website, nerdstravaganza.com. And with all that said, take us out, Penguin. I'm winning the race.